Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:09 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 29th. And it was a pretty volatile day, but that volatility was quite specific, and there is an increasing difference between the volatility on the Nasdaq and that on the S&P 500. So, for example, the VXN, which is the Nasdaq Volatility Index, surged today. It didn't quite hold all of the advance, but it is now challenging that progression of lower rally highs since towards the end of 2015. And if we look at that on a daily basis, we can very clearly see that there's an upward bias to the volatility since at least March. But that's a significant tail on the candle today, and we have seen previous tails on candles at spikes like this, so there is the possibility that we might get some steadying here. I do want to contrast, though, that with the VIX index, because the VIX was also higher today but did not hold the advance, and it has not been trending higher since March. In fact, it's been trending lower since March, so we have quite a significant divergence there. What we do have evidence of is increased single stock volatility among some of the large cap momentum technology shares. So, for example, Nvidia was down $5 today, was off the low, but it is still trading below 160, and we had that very large key reversal on the 9th of June. When we look at the Nasdaq 100, then it also had a big pullback on the 9th of June. It had a lower high 4 days ago, and now it has posted a lower low at 5600. It has bounced off the low, so maybe it's not going to go down in a straight line, but if you have lower highs and lower lows, those are the conditions for a downtrend, and it now has work to do. It really has to demonstrate that it can sustain a move above 5800 to reassert demand dominance, and the most likely scenario remains that we are in a process of mean reversion. There are two ways that mean reversion can occur. One is that it can simply go sideways, and that would allow the mean to catch up. That is really what we saw back at the end of last year. The market had done really quite well for consecutive weeks on the upside from the middle of 2016 through to about the middle of August, and then it went sideways all the way through until the end of December. So it was a four-month range, and so far this reaction is pretty similar to the reaction we saw in the latter half of last year. So if that's indeed the case, then it could go sideways. Of course, there is another way that a reversion to the mean can occur, and that is that it comes down straight back down, and it could fall another 300 points and still be above the trend mean. And often we get a mix of that. It goes sideways for a while, and then it pulls back in the latter stages. There certainly was a very sustained period of outperformance for technology shares in the first half of this year, and we are seeing at least some unwinding of that right now. That remains the risk. Now, because this was also a pretty momentous day for the bank shares, when we look at, for example, the S&P 500 Banks Index, then it did not quite hold all of the advance, but it was certainly up today. And part of the reason for that is because there is a substantial number of banks are now able to both increase dividends and increase their share buybacks. And for example, Citigroup is planning on a $15 billion buyback. So it is worth looking at that on a logarithmic scale chart just to get some perspective on how much it fell and the fact that it is now trading at new recovery highs. So if we just look at the last decade, that it is looking increasingly likely that by pulling away from this 60,000 level, that Citigroup is completing a long-term base. It hasn't traded above 60 since the very first couple of weeks of 2009. Obviously we are significantly off the low, but it is only now that it is beginning to complete the long-term base formation. And that is also supportive of the view that It isn't that we're getting a medium-term peak or even a long-term peak in stocks, but rather that we're getting a significant rotation out of things that have done spectacularly well in the first half of the year into things that perhaps haven't done quite so well. And the banking sector should also benefit not only from the fact that the Fed has passed them in their stress tests and that they're given greater leeway to exercise their balance sheet in favor of their investors, but also that what we're seeing increasing evidence of is that central banks are expressing this more hawkish tone. U.S. Treasuries were additionally weaker in here today. Now, this is looking increasingly like a failed upside break. They would need to sustain a move back above 155 to confirm a return to demand dominance. So it is also worth looking at the 10-year, because the 10-year had been trading below the trend mean, and it was up an additional 38 basis points in here today. So excuse me, 3.8 basis points. So what that suggests is that we are beginning to see at least some evidence of supply becoming dominant again in the region of the trend mean. This is looking like an upward dynamic on the weekly chart. It is now testing that progression of lower rally highs, but of course, in much the same way as we've seen with the price, it really does need to hold that move above 220 to really confirm that yields are beginning to firm from this level. Even though we've had quite a great deal of variability in volatility, and there's a rotation going on in stock markets, and we've had some fairly substantial pullbacks, and that hasn't been confined to the US either. If we just glide over here to the world equity indices, we can see that a number of European indices were down in excess of 2% in here today. So, for example, the Euro Stoxx 50 down 2%, the CAC 40 in France was down over 2%. The Swiss market down just under 1.5%. So those are taking their cue from what is going on in the USA. And then there is the likelihood that with the US bouncing, that they might have a somewhat better day tomorrow. But what all of these indices have shared this common characteristic that they have been somewhat overbought relative to their trend means, and that the most likely scenario is that that is now going to be unwound, that we are getting a process of mean reversion. When we look at the commodity complex, then oil prices have been rallying for much of the last 4 days, but they were not able to hold the majority of the advance in here today. This has been a particularly unimpressive short covering rally, that it has been able to tack on almost, well, $2.50 in terms of the rally, and that has taken it 6 sessions to do, whereas back in November it was able to do it in a day, and it was able to do it in a day back in September. So it really does suggest that there isn't quite the same degree of additional upside here in prices, and that it might already be losing momentum. There's a great deal of additional supply that is economic at $47, and that is likely to continue to weigh on prices. What we do have evidence of, though, is in the industrial metals that copper continues to firm, and it has now pushed on and taken out the early June peak, and it is testing that's $2.70 area, which has been an area of resistance since really the beginning of March. But when we look at it on the weekly chart, it looks like a recovery candidate. It looks like a price that can go higher from here. And I think that a lot of people refer to copper as Dr. Copper. One of the reasons that central banks can adopt this more hawkish tone is because economic activity is improving, and it's not just in the US, but it's also in the UK, it's in the EU, and in much of Asia as well. So there is this give and take, that, and what I think is people are going to have to come to they're going to have to, I guess, discuss. to what extent are markets reliant on liquidity? And can the improving growth trajectory of the global economy make up for that reliance on liquidity? Because we have had this just for the last decade, there has been a great reliance on the availability of central bank liquidity. There is now an increasing number of central banks are talking about raising interest rates, pulling back on quantitative easing, and that represents a challenge, and it most particularly represents a challenge for the sectors that have been most reliant on access to cheap liquidity, and those have been the ones that have had the big momentum moves. But if we are transitioning into an environment where we have a certain amount of tightening, then that would suggest we're also going to get this rotation in the stock market. And commodities have been out in the cold for much of this year, and they also have the potential to do better in a rising interest rate environment, at least at the in the early stages of a rising interest rate environment. So the banks are certainly benefiting in this rotation. The commodities do appear to be benefiting, and of course, I've talked at length about the fact that biotech is benefiting from the rotation, and it was in negative territory in here today by over 1% on the Nasdaq Biotech Index, but it also was able to pair its decline. And this is quite different from shares that have been going up for 7 and 8 months and are widely overextended relative to their trend means. This continues to look like a breakout, which is a signal of a trend beginning rather than something that has become clearly overextended. And the biotech index gives us a great example of that back in 2015 when it was doing spectacularly well and then pulled back sharply. And that held it up for 2 years. So that was a trend ending. And this does not look like a trend ending. So it continues to represent a sector that will benefit from rotation out of some of those very high momentum names. While copper was firmer, gold prices were a little bit weaker in here today and down just about $4. This has been a pretty rangy environment for the last couple of weeks. It is in the region of where, if support is to be found, then it's about where we could anticipate that happening. Prices are just about in the region of the trend mean. So it probably is in need of some form of bullish catalyst to drive it higher from here. And it's probably just in need of a clear upward dynamic to do that. When we look at some of the other markets around the world that have experienced these very impressive breakouts, so for example, Taiwan was actually in positive territory today, but it has done really very well, and we may be entering a period now where we get some pause and consolidation of some of these moves. There has already been some evidence of that in India, where the market pulled back over the course of the last 5 or 6 trading sessions, and while it was in mildly negative, positive territory today, it was well off its high and below, in fact, its open. So this continues to look like an index which is entering a period of consolidation following what has been a very impressive advance since the beginning of this year. And that also is quite common to some of those technology shares. They've been going up just about all year to date, whereas a lot of other asset classes have been going sideways. So that also contributes to this rotation trade that we're getting. Something that also caught my attention today is sugar prices. They were up by about $13 in here today. This has been one of the most persistent declines in any part of the commodity complex for most of this year already. And there is a quite clear overextension relative to the trend mean and a really quite well-developed downtrend. Additional upside follow-through tomorrow would likely break that progression of lower rally highs and signal at least a low of near-term significance, and potentially even the or at least increase the potential for a reversionary rally. When we look at where we are in terms of the big market cycle. It really is worth considering that we are entering uncharted territory, where the Federal Reserve, the ECB, the Bank of England, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of Canada, they've all been running very loose monetary policy, and they're beginning to pull it back in, and that is going to put some pressure on the people that have been most reliant on access to free money. And that is probably most particularly going to be the case when interest rates have gone up some more, and when we have been in a tightening cycle for a while. We know that central bank tightening cycles eventually contribute to recessions. So then watching that yield curve is going to be important. But it is not negative now, and it's probably not going to be negative for at least another year. So rather than being worried about recessions in the current moment, and I think that it is also interesting that this is the end of the half. So we're getting some profit taking at the end of the month. Then there is also, Janet Yellen last week was saying that valuations are quite rich. I was rather reminded of Alan Greenspan's irrational exuberance comment, and it is also, worth remembering that the market didn't peak for nearly 18 months after he made that comment, and it might even have been longer. So I think that what we're getting is a rotation. I think that we are seeing potentially a pause, and that pause could be multi-months in terms of its duration, but that we probably have at least another couple of years before we have to worry about a recession, and that would suggest that significant pullbacks are likely to be buying opportunities. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.